We're starting today at the bottom of Amud Bet, five lines from the bottom, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. We were in the middle of a whole slew of drashot, but this is the way the rabbis would start out the Megillah. Before they would darshan the Megillah, they would connect it to a broader theme. So we ended yesterday with the about God being, you know, should we be happy when our enemies are falling, and we shouldn't be fully happy, and the pasuk was, okay, some of these psukim, by the way, if you notice, they focus, some of them focus on destroying the enemy, and some of them focus on us being punished. That one clearly is focusing on us being punished, because there's two sides to the story. One side is that we were punished. In the end, we got out of it, but there's a bit of a different focus. So each of the rabbis emphasized, I think, a different theme. So Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana patach lepitcha lahai parashata mehacha. L'adam shetov lefanav natan chokhma v'da'at b'simcha. So again, this is going to be the very positive one. But you can even, I didn't think about it well enough, but let's try to think. You can categorize them. There's some that talk about, this is the ultimate destruction of Babel, right? It's the continuation of what was, and we're now continuing to destroy the very last, you know, the Vashti, or the Tzatzaim of Babel, and the Malchut is finished, or any kind of enemy is being destroyed. There's ones that talk about our punishment, and then there's ones that talk about good and evil, and good winning out over evil.
Right.
And that's, you know, where we saw before the comparison, the contrast of this will turn into that, and the Sirpad will become, I forgot the Pasuk, Tachat HaSirpad Yaleh, or Tachat something Yaleh Barosh, or Tachat HaSirpad Yaleh, forgot the Pasuk. But it's the flip, right? The flip of the good winning here. Tachat HaNatzot Yaleh Barosh, or Tachat HaSirpad Yaleh Hadas. Right, and that was Mordechai and Esther. So there's a bunch of psukim that talk about that. Here's another one. So for people that are good before him, Natan Chochma V'Da'at B'Simcha, Zeh Mordechai HaTzadik. V'Lachote, Natan Inyan Le'asof L'Chnos, Zeh Haman. So for the person who sins, he gave him an Inyan, like a thing to collect. Okay, remember he collected all this money. Latet L'Tov L'Fnei Elohim, Zeh Mordechai V'Esther. In other words, God gave the chote the opportunity to collect and then give it to God, right? Like, he does the hard work. Nobody likes to collect the taxes, right? He collected all the money, and then Mordechai and Esther got to be responsible for it. Rabba Bar Ofram patach lepitcha lahai parashat ha-mehacha v'samti kis'i be'elam v'aditi misham melech v'sarim. Okay, so here it's a pasuk that talks about, I'm going to put my kis'i in Elam, that's in Babel, and I'm going to destroy from there Melech V'Sarim. So who's the Melech V'Sarim? Melech Zovashti, V'Sarim Zehaman. So again, talking about the eventual wiping out of the enemy. V'Aserep, Haman V'Aserep Anach. Rav Dimi Bar Yitzchak Patach Lepitcha Lahai Parashat HaMehacha. Ki Avadim Anachnu, U'Ba'Avudatenu Lo Azavnu Eloheinu. We didn't leave God, right? In other words, while we were avadim, we still didn't leave God, and the rest of that pasuk is vayet aleinu chesed lifnei malchei paras. Okay, and then they looked upon us. The malchei paras looked upon us with chesed. Hashem put it that they would look upon us with chesed. Ematai, when was that we were vayet aleinu chesed lifnei malchei paras? Right, this is a pasuk from Ezra. Bizman Haman, right? That's when the malchei paras had rachmanut on us. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa patach lepitcha lahai parashat ha-mehacha, hirkav te'enosh l'roshenu, banu be'esh u'bamayim. Okay, so here, it's basically, they're talking about different situations where we went through struggles. Okay, this is a pasuk in Tehillim. And the end of that pasuk is v'totzi'enu l'rivaya, which we're going to see in a minute. Rivaya means we got out in abundance. It sounds a little bit like Yitzhak Mitzrayim, right? Be'esh u'bamayim, and the we came out, but they're going to say be'esh b'imei Nebuchadnezzar harasha. There are two different explanations given. One is the kivshana esh of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and the other, I think, more obvious one is the destruction by fire of the Beit Hamikdash. U'b'mayim b'imei Paro. Okay, in the time of Paro, he destroyed us with mayim, right? Because there really is no esh in Mitzrayim. That's why they say this isn't just Mitzrayim. This is also something else. The Mayim is they wanted to destroy us with Mayim. They wanted to send all the firstborns into the Nile. V'totzi'enu l'rivaya. So when did we come out in abundance? right? Which normally we say was Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim, we came out in abundance, right? But if he brought us Be'esh of Amayim and one was later, right, in the Churban, so the Rivaya must be some other time. Bimei Haman, right? Because then we had all these parties, and it was a very celebratory time, and there was a lot of food, etc. Rabbi Yochanan patach lepitcha lahai parshat ha-mehacha. So again, that would fit into the category of those of wiping out our enemies, right? And that God brings us through different tribulations, and we come out of it strong. Rabbi Yochanan patach lepitcha lahai parshat ha-mehacha. Zachar chasdo ve'emunato lebe'i Yisrael. He remembered his chesed of, and the emunah of Be'i Yisrael. Ra'u kol afsei aretz et yishuat Eloheinu. All of the people of the world are going to see. Ematai, when Ematai ra'u kol afsei aretz et yishuat Eloheinu, when did everybody see God's glory? Bimei Mordechai v'Esther, why was that? Because they sent igrot, right? They sent letters to everybody. So letters got sent around to everybody, so everybody knew about it. Rish Lakish patach lepitcha lahai parshat ha-mehacha. Ari nohem v'dov shokek moshel rasha al amdal. Okay, so now they're going to, this is another one which talks about the Babylonians, and right, we get all these drashot that relate to all these different enemies that got up against us. Allah ari nohem zenebuchadnezzar harasha. Dichtiv be, Allah ari misubacho. Okay, that means that the lion came out from his thicket, okay, and that's a reference to, that pasuk in Yirmiyahu was a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Dov shokek, ze achashverosh. Achashverosh is a dov shokek, okay? He's a hungry bear. Why is he a hungry bear? You're going to find this interesting. Dichtiv be, ba'aruch hiva. Okay, this is a pasuk from Daniel. Okay, Daniel had all these images. And he had these images of different machliot that are going to come up against us. So one of them says, va'aruch heva acharei tinyana, and the one that came after that, another beast came, damya ledov. Okay, he looked like a dove. So now, how did they know which one is the dove? V'tanei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, elu parsiim. Okay, the parsiim, which was achashverosh, she'ochlim v'shotim kedov. Why is he like a dove? They eat and drink like a dove, right? Because, right, dubim, bears, eat lots of food. What was going on in the malchut of Achashverosh? Lots and lots of food. Umisturbalim basar kedov. They're full of flesh. They're fat, like a dove. Umigalim se'ar kedov. They have long hair like a dove. Okay, unclear whether they mean body hair or long hair, like their hair on their heads, that they grew their hair long. Ve'ein lahem menucha kedov. And they can't sit still like a dove. They're restless. Moshel Rasha, so now the Pasuk said, okay, let's go back to the beginning. Allah Ari Misubacho, right? The lion is going to come from his thicket, the dove shokek, the hungry dove. And then the end of that Pasuk is what we're going to read now. Moshel Rasha al Amdal. Okay, so who's the Moshel Rasha? Zehaman al Amdal. Now, even though this is a Pasuk, and we said there's different genres about, right? Was it focusing on number one that this is all part of a broader historical thing where there's other nations that are coming up against us and this is one in the list? Or is it focusing on the fact that there's a fulfillment? I didn't actually say this before, but we'll see. A lot of the psukim that they bring or brought are from the Tochacha in Vayikra and in Dvarim. This is all part of our punishment, that we got punished at this point, even though we got saved in the end. And then ones that talk about good winning out versus evil. This one kind of combines number one and number two, because then it says Amdal. What does it mean, Al Amdal? Elu Yisrael Shehem Dalim Min HaMitzvot. It was a combination. This is a fulfillment of these prophecies, but why are the prophecies being fulfilled? Lira'a, against us, because we did bad things. We're Dalim, we're poor of mitzvot. We didn't do enough mitzvot. Rabbi Elazar Patach Lapit Laharprashat HaMehacha. He started from here. Okay, we've seen this pasuk before, actually. It's a pasuk from Kohelet. That means if you don't take care of your house, if you're lazy, your roof is going to fall down and you're going to have a leak in your house. Okay? Lazy people end up, right? This is what happens to them. So now they're going to darshan this pasuk. Here's that, right? Clearly we were to blame. So no HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what we call Lashon Saginahor. It means, really, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we've seen this before where it says Sonam Shel Yisrael, and it really means Yisrael. They just don't want to say something bad about us. So they want to say something bad about Hashem. So they say, because we were lazy and didn't learn Torah, so God became Mach. What is Mach? Ve'ein mach ela ani, because the pasuk said yimach hamekare, right? So ein mach ela ani means God became poor. Shene'emar ve'imachu me'erkacha. That's a pasuk about a poor person if he loses his money. Ve'ein mekare ela kadosh baruch hu shene'emar hamekare b'mayim aliyotav. God puts his, okay, I'm not sure how exactly to translate this pasuk, but that the hamikare is he makes rafters in the water of his aliyot, of his, how do you translate it? Of his
the chambers.
Of his chambers. He makes chambers in the water, or he makes his chambers out of water. I wasn't sure whether it's actually in the water he makes his chambers.
It says he roofs or his roofs upper chambers with water.
With water. Okay.
So,
right, I saw a different translation also that seemed to indicate maybe it was in the water. Anyway, I'm sure there's different translations. The point being that God is the one who's talked about HaMikareh. He's the one who makes the ceilings.
I guess...
Yeah.
I'm going to say, with water, because that's the whole idea of it being weak and falling apart. Like it.
Uh-huh. So then the water... Although I think the pasuk is really saying... the pasuk about HaMikareh B'mayim Aliyotav is showing God's strength.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's a pasuk showing God makes his things out of water. His maybe because man can't make a roof out of water. Maybe it's saying God has the ability to do that. In other words, he creates chambers that are levels of water, and only he can do that. Maybe that's what the pasuk means. I don't know. I should look up there. Anyway,
it's from Bereshit.
What?
Maybe it's from Bereshit. You know, when he separates the mayim and the.
Uh huh. So this
so
pasuk, it's from Tehillim Kuf Dalet, which, if I recall correctly, it's a pasuk that describes Briat HaOlam.
No, but don't.
So Hasama Bim
Rufuvo. Right. It's a reference to Bereshit when he separates the earth and the. When he sort of makes like a tikra of.
Right, like the water becomes the
sky.
Except this water doesn't. It's the opposite. The pasuk is Hamekareh B'mayim Aliyotav Hasam Avim Rufuvo Hamehalech HaKamfei Ruach. It's the Mizmor that talks about Hashem and Briat HaOlam. So he makes the Avim his rechev, like he drives there. In other words, it's like, I think it's, yeah, I don't know exactly. We'll have to look there, but let's leave it for now. So in the what you have in the end is that God basically becomes Ani to them. In other words, right, he makes himself less powerful, almost like we talk about Hester Panim, right? He kind of removed himself somewhat and then let things happen. Shir Hamalot. Lule Hashem Shahaya Lanu. Yomarna Yisrael. Lule Hashem. Okay. Yomarna Yisrael. If it were not for God that was with us, Israel would say. Lule Hashem Shahaya Lanu. Bikum Aleinu Adam. Okay. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Lule Hashem Shahaya Lanu. When an Adam came up against us. Okay. And those are two Pasukim. Shir Hamalot LeDavid. Lule Hashem Shahaya Lanu. Yomarna Yisrael. Lule Hashem Shahaya. Lanu bekum aleinu adam. We weren't for God that was there when this person came up against us. Now, when does a person come up against us? Usually, it's a king. It's a nation. Right? In this case, it was Haman. It was one man, and he wasn't even the king. So that's what they say. Adam velo melech. Right? And that's Haman. Rava patach lapit chalahai parashat hamehacha. Birvot tzadikim yismach ha'am, ubimshol rasha ye'enach ha'am. Birvot tzadikim yismacham. Here's the evil and good, right? The contrast. Birvot tzadikim yismacham. Zeh Mordechai v'Esther. Dichtiv v'ha'ir shushan tzala v'samecha. Right at the end, everybody's happy. Ubimshol rasha ye'enach ha'am. Zeh Haman. Dichtiv v'ha'ir shushan nabocha. Right in the beginning of the Megillah, everyone's sad because Haman is in charge. Rav Matna amar mehacha. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo Elohim krovim elav. Okay, he says, who is the nation that has God close to them? Now, the Mefreshim explained here, what does this have to do with it? That Haman claimed, Yeshno amacha mefuzar mefura ben ami, meaning that their God chucked them, right? He left them, he threw them, and they're all over the place, and he's no longer with them. And the retort to that is, no, no, no. Hashem, despite the fact that we're all over the place, Hashem is with us. B'chol koreinu ele, right? He's always near to us. The end of that pasuk, I think, is b'chol, right? B'chol asher krovim elenu, k'Hashem Elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav, right? Anytime we call him, he's there for us. Okay. Lost my place for a second. Okay. Rav Asha amar mehacha. O hanisa Elohim. Okay, this is a pasuk from Sefer Dvarim. This is from Dvarim, right? This is from Dvarim, in Perek Dalet. It says, "Oh, hanisa Elohim lavo lakachal lo goy mikerev goy, b'masotu b'otodu b'oftim milchama, u'biyach hazakav zroni tuyam roim gdolim, k'chol asher asa l'shem elokechem b'mitzrayim le'enecha." Has God ventured out to do this for anyone else? Right? What has he done? Lakachal lo goy mikerev goy. So some people explain there's two different ways of looking at this, or maybe they work together. But goy mikerev goy means he takes out a nation from within another nation, which happened in Mitzrayim, right? He took us out of Mitzrayim, and he took us out of this situation. Was also, we were a goy within, right? We were a nation within another nation. The other thing they compare about the two is that just like they wanted to destroy us by water in Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we destroyed them in the end by water with Kriyat Yam Suf. And in Purim, they wanted to destroy us on a particular day, and in the end, we destroyed them on that same day. Both of them had this flip, where everything flipped on its head. Vayhi bimei Achashverosh. Now we're going to darshan this pasuk. Vayhi bimei Achashverosh. Amar Rav, vay vihi. Vay vihi are both terms of mourning. Okay, like oi. Hada dechtiv, v'itmakartem sham lo'evecha la'avadim u'lishvachot. Right, the pasuk that you will be sold. Right? This is a pasuk from Dvarim. Okay, in the middle of the Tochacha. Okay, right, there's Tochacha in two places, at the end of Vayikra and at the end of, right, in Bechukotai and in Kitavo. So here it says, V'itmakatem sham lo'evecha, you're going to be sold as slaves and avadim u'shvachot. Okay, and that's what happened in Purim. Okay. U'shmuel amar lo ma'astim ve'lo ga'altim l'chalotam. Okay, here I charted this out because there's two different interpretations, and even within the two different interpretations, there's also differences in the nusach, in the text. Okay, and this seems to be because of the censura. The censura is the censor, right? The Romans were in charge when we wrote the Gemara. And there were certain things that were anti-Roman that they removed, okay, and they changed. So here's a good example, okay? Okay, what does this mean? Lo ma'astim v'lo galtim l'chalotam l'hafir briti itam. Okay, that means that despite however bad things get, okay, this is from Vayikra in the Tochacha. Despite how bad things get, okay, it says, va'af gam so b'yotam be'eretz oyvehem, even while you're in your enemy land, I won't entirely leave you. Okay? There'll be salvation in the end. Lo ma'astim b'mei yevanim. Okay, the first one is in the time of the Greeks. V'lo galtim b'mei Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, now here it's a little strange because it goes out of order, right? Why would Nebuchadnezzar come after the Yevanim? The Yevanim are in the story of Hanukkah, which happened much later. Lechalotam, okay, so the tzenzura, okay, substituted Nebuchadnezzar for Aspasianus, one of the Romans, okay? And that makes more sense. Lechalotam bimei Haman, the problem is that Haman is still out of order, okay, because he happened before. Okay, lahafir briti itam bimei Parsiim. And they said the Parsiim are the Parsiim, if you see from the, we're going to see from the Braita in a minute, the Parsiim were those ruling, not those ruling in the time of Haman, but the ones ruling also in the time of the Rab, of the Tanaim. There was also the Parsiim were ruling. Ki ani Hashem Elokechem, the end of the Pasuk ends like that, because I am your God, bimei Gog u'Magog. Okay, in the future, you'll have total salvation. B'manita Tana, now there's a different version in the Braita. Lo ma'astim bimei kastim. The first one is the Bavlim. She'emadati lahem, and here it's a little more detailed. What was the hope? What was the good thing to happen? That despite the fact that they all went to Galut, she'emadati lahem Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, va'Azariah. Okay? Now, some of them say that, there's a commentary that says that the people who they list here in this Braita are all people, like Daniel, if you remember from Daniel, he had relationship with the Shilton, right? He was buddies with the king of Babel. In other words, these were people from the inside that were able to help us. Bimei Yivanim, she'amati lahem Shimon HaTzadik v'chashmonai uvanav u'matityahu kohen gadol. V'chalotam bimei Haman, she'amati lahem Mordechai v'Esther. La'afir briti itam, and here's where you see the Parsiim is talking about during the time of the Tanaim. Bimei Parsiim, she'amadati lahem beit Rebbe v'chachmei dorot. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who also had relationship with the non-Jews, right? He was the Nasi, he was a prominent position. Okay, in the future, nobody will be able to totally rule over you. Okay, this again is clearly in the broad context of all our enemies and where this fits into historical context and what's going to be the future redemption. Using it as a springboard to say in the future it's going to be perfect. Rabbi Levi Amar Mehacha. Here we're going back now to what we did wrong. V'im lo torishu et yoshvei ha'aretz. Okay, the hemshech of that pasuk. This is also from the Tochacha. This is in Bamidbar. At the end of Bamidbar, it says in Bamidbar Lama Gimel, "Im lo torishu." This when they go fight Sichon. Im lo torishu et yoshvei ha'aretz mipnechem v'haya asher totiru mehem. Whoever you leave over from them, l'sikim be'enechem u'litzninim b'tzidechem. They're going to be a thorn in your side. Okay, what's the obvious connection to Megillat Esther? Amalek, right? They didn't kill Amalek, and now he became a thorn in their side. Rabbi Chiya Amar Mehacha, V'haya kashir dimiti la'asot lahem e'aseh lachem. Okay, this is from the Tocha. This is the next pasuk there. In Bamidbar, it says, and whatever you plan to, I plan to do to you, whatever I plan to do to them, that's what will happen to you. Okay, in the Tochacha, they're told that if they don't do what they're told, then whatever I plan for the enemy, I'm going to plan for you. And that's what happened here. Again, before we got saved. So some people say it says here, Vayhi b'imei Achashverosh. Okay, going back to that pasuk now. Amarav. So now they're going to darshan the word Achashverosh. Amarav. Achiv Shorosh. Okay, they're going to now darshan all sorts of ways the name of Achashverosh. All different ways they're going to say. Okay, I put them in a chart so you could kind of see and compare. Okay, four drashot about what is Achashverosh. Achiv Shorosh, he was the brother of Rosh, Uben Gilo Shorosh, and he was similar in manner to Rosh. Now, who's Rosh? Achiv Shorosh, Achiv Shol Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. He was the brother of Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha, Shenikra Rosh. I didn't see commentaries on this, but I'm assuming, right, so Rashi says, Klomar Domelo, he was like him, he looked like him. I was thinking that maybe also we learned that Nebuchadnezzar's granddaughter, was his wife. So maybe he was his brother-in-law, so to speak, right? Cousin, related. Because to say he was like him is really what the second part is saying. Ben Gilo, they say his tchunot were like him, but maybe they say he physically looked like him and he acted like him. But I don't know. I think maybe it really means his brother-in-law. Achish al Nebuchadnezzar arasha, shenikra Rosh. How do we know Nebuchadnezzar was called Rosh? Shenemar, and this is a pasuk from Daniel, Antu Resha Didahava. He is a Rosh al Zahav. That's what they call Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, I think that was maybe a vision in one of his dreams. I didn't check, but maybe he saw him as a Rosh of Zahav. Ben Gilosha Rosh. Okay, so there you see he was a Rosh. Ben Gilosha Rosh, how is he similar? Hu harag? Hu bikesh laharog? Okay, Achashverosh tried to do what Nebuchadnezzar did. In the end, he didn't succeed. But he killed us all, and Achashverosh wanted to.
Isn't that Parsi, though?
He wasn't related. He wasn't his brother.
No, we're trying to make a Hebrew translation of the word Achashverosh.
No, you could say
Achashverosh.
Yes. This we see a lot. We saw it with the cities a few weeks ago, right? How Tiberius was named after Tiberius, right? The Roman emperor. But it didn't stop the rabbis from trying to darshan names, okay? It's one of the...
It's a word game.
You can even say, some people say you name somebody, and that, you know, a lot of people believe you name someone and they take the tchunot of that name, right? So you could say that even though that was his name, and even though it was a different language, it gives them flexibility. It's a way of them also describing him and things about him and trying to find a remez in his name. It's the same way you have a halacha that you know is a halacha, not necessarily coming from the pasuk, but if you can connect it to the pasuk, it makes it stronger. That's kind of style thing. The style of those days, of the way they did things. So who hechriv? He destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar. And who bekesh lachriv? He wanted to destroy the Beit HaMikdash. What do you mean he wanted to destroy the Beit HaMikdash? The Beit HaMikdash wasn't built. But what was going on in those days? Okay, and here we're going to learn a bit of history. Okay, here you can look already. We'll get a sneak preview to what we're going to do later. Nebuchadnezzar was king in Babel for 45 years. Then came Evil Merodach. He was also in Babel for 23 years. Then came Belshazzar for 3 years. Then we're going to see how he died all of a sudden, claimed, according to the sources, as a punishment. Daryavesh was then 2 years. Koresh was 3 years. Now, Koresh gives the decree to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, right? And then Achashverosh comes after that, okay? So all the while, right, they don't come back until when the 70 years are up, and that's what we're going to get to this count. 70 years are up in the middle of Daryavesh Hasheni, okay? He's the guy who comes after Achashverosh. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar, Evil Merodach, and Belshazzar are all Babel. Then comes Daryavesh. They take over the Parasu Madai. And then they have these four kings. Daryavesh the first, Koresh, Achashverosh, and Daryavesh the second. So Koresh makes this decree that the Jews can go back and build the land, build the Beit HaMikdash. They start to build, but then they have all sorts of problems, and they have to stop, and they're here and there. So it appears in Sefer Ezra, okay, which is when they're in the middle of rebuilding, and Ezra and Nehemiah. So it says there in Ezra Parak Dalet, "Ubamachut Achashverosh b'tchilat machuto katvu sitna al yoshvei Yehuda b'Yerushalayim." In other words, they made a declaration that they couldn't continue the building. So it's true he didn't destroy it, but he stopped it from being built. Ushmuel amar shehu shchiru pneihem shel Yisrael b'yamav kishulek terah. The faces of the Jews were blackened during his time, like the bottom of a pot that gets all black. Okay, so they're saying hushchiru achashverosh hushchiru. Okay, similar letters. Rabbi Yochanan amar kol shezachro amar ach, like oy. Anybody who remembers him says bad things when they hear his name. Ach l'rosho. Okay, oy l'rosho. Rabbi Chanina amar shahakol nasu rashim biyamav. Okay, achashverosh. From Lashon of Rashim. Rash is poor. Everyone was poor. Shene'emar, Vayasam HaMelech HaShverosh, Mas. Remember at the end of the Megillah, he makes a Mas ala Aretz. He puts taxes, so everybody became poor. Hu Achash, okay, now we're going to darshan the word Hu, okay? Where the Pasuk says, Hu Achashverosh, Umolech Mehodu B'Akush, right? Why does it say Hu Achashverosh? And then we're going to darshan all sorts of places where it says Hu, and this is going to fall into the category of Midrashim, where the Midrash in general likes to say people are all good or all bad, okay? Like there's a whole group of people nowadays who, right, they try to learn, let's say, about Esav. Esav is one of the examples here, right? And they say he wasn't so bad. You see from the text, he wasn't such a bad guy. What happened? The Midrash turned him into an evil guy, right? He did something maybe not so good, and the Midrash says, oh, he must have been all bad. This is a Midrash that goes clearly along those lines. Or Datan and Abiram, we're going to see, these are these two guys, right? They did a bunch of bad things in the Midbar. But what happens? Anytime there's two people, oh, those two people must be Datan and Abiram. And two people do something bad. They're only mentioned a little bit in the Torah, but they're all over the place, and we all think of them as having done everything because the Midrash takes them and puts them everywhere. So now, here we have it. Hu Achashverosh. Hu birisho mitchilato v'ad safo. He was bad from beginning to end. You know, his whole life he was bad. Some of the Parshaniyot say that they're taking people that you might have thought weren't so bad all the while, and they're trying to say, no, 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 they were bad all the way. Hu Esav, hu birisho mitchilato v'ad safo. Hu datam v'aviram, hein birisham mitchilatam v'ad safan. Hu hamelech Achaz, okay, this is one of the kings that were bad. Hu birisho mitchilato v'ad safo. Now we're going to do the reverse. Avraham, who Avraham? So you say that same word, who? So what does it teach you? Who bitzitko mitzchilato v'ad safo? Who is just a word that means you're always the way you are. Okay, the way you were then, that's the way you are forever. Who Aharon v'Moshe? Heim bitzitkan mitzchilatam v'ad safam. Right, they were righteous from the beginning to the end. V'David, who Akatan? He's the young, right? He's the smallest of all his brothers, right? When Shmuel comes to anoint him and he doesn't think it's him. So what does that mean? Hu bekatnuto mitchilato v'ad safo. This doesn't mean he was immature, right? What does it mean? Kishem shebekatnuto hiktin atzmo etzel misha gadol mimenu b'torah. Just like in the beginning of his life, right? When he was in the world of Torah, he made himself small before all the other people who were greater than him in Torah. He said, oh, I'm clearly not as good as you. Kach b'malchuto hiktin atzmo etzel misha gadol mimenu b'chokhmah. When he became king, he also made himself small, right? He was humble, basically, in front of anyone who was gadol mimenu b'chokhmah, was smarter than him. Okay, now we're up to the next word, hamolech, right? Achashverosh is hamolech mehodu v'akush. Why does it say hamolech instead of just saying hamelech achashverosh malach mehodu v'akush? Hamolech hamarav shemalach me'atzmo. He made himself king. In other words, it wasn't a dynastic. He didn't get it from his father. He made himself king. Amr le l'shvach v'amr le l'gnai. Some people say this was a positive thing. Some people say it was negative. Amr le l'shvach d'lo hava'in she d'chashiv l'malka kavateh. Maybe there was nobody else who was right way to be king other than him. V'amr le l'gnai, and some people say it was a bad thing. D'lo hava chazi l'malchuta. He wasn't right way to be king at all. U'mamoni yeteru hu d'yayi v'kam. Okay, he paid his way to be the king. Mehodu v'yad kush. Rav Shmuel. Hanamar, Hodu b'sof ha'olam, v'kush b'sof ha'olam. One is on one side of the world and one is on the other side. So when it says, Mehodu v'akush, it means from this end of the world to the other end of the world. They were right next to each other. So what does it mean, Mehodu v'ad Kush? Kashem shamalach al Hodu v'kush, they were right next to him, just like he was king, on the two nearest cities. Kach malach misof ha'olam v'ad safo. Just like it was so easy for him to rule over the, right? It's obviously easier to rule over nations that are right next to you, right? We see that all over the place, right? When you have colonies somewhere else around the world, it's very hard to rule over them. So just like it was easy for him to rule over people right next to him, that's the ease with which he ruled over the entire world. So either way you see it, he ruled over the entire world. The question was just, was it, were Hodu and Kush reflective of, right, were they two cities next to each other or two cities far from each other? Kayotze b'davar ataomer, the same thing you say about Shlomo HaMelech. Ki hu rodeh b'chol ever hanahar, mi tifsach v'ad Aza. He ruled from Tifsach to Aza. Rav Shmuel. Chanamar Tifsach b'sof ha'olam, v'Aza b'sof ha'olam. One said Tifsach is at one end of the world and Aza is at the other end of the world. Again, we see a lot of current events in our in our Gemara here. V'chanamar Tifsach v'Aza b'hade hadade habu kaime. They were both right next to each other. K'shem shamalach al Tifsach v'al Aza, kach malach al kol olam kula. Okay. Now we're going to get into the Sheva v'esrim u'mea medina. I'm Rav Chista. Why does it say Sheva ve'esrim u'mea? Now, it's a bit of a strange question, and we actually had this in the Gemara before, where they darshan the order, even though really, many times when they mention years in the Torah, it's mentioned flipped, right? We would say me'esrim v'sheva, but in the Torah, like chaye sarah, right? It says it the same thing. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of places it says it. We're going to bring up another one here. But they want to darshan it, just because they want to darshan it. I'm Rav Chista. B'tchila malach al sheva, ulevasof malach al esrim, ulevasof malach al mea. In other words, he slowly built up his reign. Okay, he started with 7, then he went up to 20, then he went up to, right, he added another 20, then he added another 100. In the end, he had 127, but it was gradual. So then they say, alameata ushne chaye amram. Okay, now for some reason they bring the pasuk of Amram. I don't know why specifically his. Sheva u'shloshim u'ma'at shana, my darshit bay. Right? You can't say he lived 7 years and then another 30 years and then another 100 years. I mean, you could say that, but there would be no point. What are you going to darshim him from that? Shane ha'cha dikra yiterehu. They say no. In that case, they want to tell you how old someone is, so they have to tell you. But in this case, the whole telling us how many states he ruled over is not necessary, because michti k'tiv mehodu v'yad kush. It already says hodu v'yad kush. They don't need to then specify the number of how many it was. So sheva v'srimu me'amdina lama lishma mina lidrasha. So it must be we can darshan it. Now they're going to talk about all these people who ruled over the world. Since we already said that Ahasuerus clearly ruled from one end to the other, we're going to talk about a bunch of other rulers who ruled over the entire world. Tana Rabbanan, Shlosha Machu B'Kippah, meaning Kippah is like Tachat Kippat HaShamayim, we say, right? So they ruled under everything under the sky. Ve'eluhen, Achav V'Achashverosh U'Nebuchadnezzar. How do we know? Achav D'Chtiv, it's going to be interesting how they get to this. When Achav is looking for Eliyahu, he can't find him, and then Eliyahu appears, and he goes to his Ovadiah, the Eved of Achav. So the Eved says to him, Chai Hashem Elokecha, im yesh goyim amlecha asher lo shalach Adoni sham levakeshcha. I swear that there's no nation in the world where he hasn't looked for you. And it says, and then it says even that they all swore that they hadn't seen you. Okay? So if they all swore that they hadn't seen him, they say, V'i lo dahava malach alayu, hechi matza mishpalehu, how could he have gotten all these nations to swear to him if he wasn't in charge of them? Okay? It's hard to say that Ahav was really in charge of all, right? When you read Sefer Melachim, clearly we didn't rule everything. So this is definitely a stretch. But the point is that if he got every nation to swear to him that he couldn't find Eliyahu, it must be that they were subjugated to him, because people wouldn't swear to him if they didn't need to. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar dichtiv v'haya ha'goy v'hamamacha asher lo yiten et savaro ba'ol melech bavel. Okay, in other words, there isn't anyone who didn't put his neck in the yoke, under the yoke of the king of Babel. So it seems like he conquered everybody. And Achashverosh Hadamaram, we already said, Mehodu Be'akush is everywhere. So now they say, V'chuleika, is there nobody else? V'ha'ika Shlomo, wasn't Shlomo king over the whole world? So they say, Lo Salak Malchute. He didn't actually finish his reign. Okay, this is an interesting midrash. There's a midrash that says that basically he went to write Sefer Kohelet. Okay, it comes up in Gittin, and he was busy focusing on writing his philosophy book, and because of that, he stopped being king Okay? Now there's a machloket about whether he stopped being king for the rest of his life, or he stopped being king for a while and then went back to being king. So the Gemara says, Hani damar melech behedyo. If you say first he was king, then he became a regular guy because he went to write Kohelet, and he never went back to being king, then I understand. He never finished up his kingdom, so he was supposed to rule the world, but he never finished. But those who say he ended his life as a king, then he should have, he really did finish his life as a king. So they say, Shlomo milta achrite habebe. He was totally different category. You can't compare him to these three guys. Why? Shamalach ala elyonim va'ala tachtonim. Shenemar v'yashav Shlomo al kiseh Hashem. Okay? It says, he sat on the throne of God. Okay? It's a pasuk from Divrei HaYamim. Okay, and it says, he was in a totally different, he ruled over the Elyonim and the Tachtonim, right? And therefore, you can't put him in the same category as those three guys. Also, those three guys were obviously bad rulers, and he was a good ruler, right? To put him in the same boat as Ahav, Nebuchadnezzar, and Achashverosh is difficult. Now they're going to say, Vahava Sancheirev. Doesn't Sancheirev go to the Jews and he says, Mi b'chol Elohei Arzot Ha'el Asher Yitzilu Et Arzam Miyadi, except for you. In other words, I've conquered everything except for Yerushalayim. So they say, well, you just said it. Ha'ika Yerushalayim de lo kavsha. He didn't conquer Jerusalem, and that's why. Va'ika Daryavish. What about Daryavish, his father, Achashverosh's father? Dichtiv Daryavish Malka Katav L'chol Amamaya Umaya V'lishnaya Didayram B'chol Arash Shalmechon Yiske. He sent to all the nations and umot and lishonot, right, and languages that are living in his land, he sent to them shalom yihyeh. So there you have it. He sent to everybody, meaning he was king over them. So they say, ha'ika sheva delo malach alayhu. He was king. There were seven that he didn't rule over. He ruled over almost everything except for seven. Dichtiv, how do we know that? Shafar kadam daryavash ve'ikima machuta le'achash darpanaya mea ve'esrim. Okay? He ruled over 120, and we know that his son, Achashverosh, ruled over 127. So there you have it. He didn't rule over all of them. Vahika Koresh. What about Koresh, who ruled after Daryavash? Dichtiv, komar Koresh melech paras, komam lechot ha'aretz natan li Hashem. He says, God gave me all the mamlechot of the land. So now they have a great answer. Hatam ishtibucha yudim kamishtabach benashe. He's gloating about himself. It doesn't mean he really rules over them. He's just trying to make himself look great. So he's saying, I rule, God gave me everything to rule over. Okay, so it doesn't mean he really ruled over them all. He was just trying to say, I'm great. Okay, now we're moving on. Bayamim hayim kishevet hamelech. So now we get to the continuation. In those days, what happened? Kishevet hamelech achashverosh, uktiv batre, and it says right after, bishnat shalosh lemacho. And that's when he does this mishteh, right? If you remember the beginning of the Megillah, so he says when he kishevet hamelech. What does that mean? When he got to finally sit down, right, and say, ah, okay, everything's right. The pshat of this is what he came, he became king, and he had to deal with a bunch of things, you know, resolve a bunch of issues, and now he can be calm and relaxed, and he can enjoy. But what do we see here? Amarava my kishevet la'achar shenit yashva da'ato. It was after he realized in his head that, now I have a sign that everything's going to be okay. What was his sign? He says like this, Amar, Balshitzar chashav vita'a, ana chashiv nevelo te'ina. Balshitzar did a chishuv in his head. Okay, he's, remember, Nebuchadnezzar, Evil Merodach, Balshitzar. He's the third king of Babel, the last one of Babel, before Daryavash takes over, and then there's Daryavash, Koresh, and Achashverosh. Balshitzar did a chishuv in his head. What did he do to do a chishuv? Mai he dichtiv. He saw the pasuk, ki lepim el'ot le'bavel shivim shana efkod etchem. After 70 years of Babel, right, I'm going to redeem you. Right, God's going to take us out. These are the 70 years of Shivat Zion. After 70 years, you're going to be redeemed. Uktiv le'mal'ot le'charvot Yerushalayim shivim shana. Right, and that'll be the end, right? The end of the destruction will end in 70 years. So how did he figure out the 70 years? What did he say? It says, L'fi mel'ot le'bavel. So what did he say? It must start from when Babel took over. Nebuchadnezzar took over from the Assyrians. He beat out the Assyrians. So he did the calculation of the 70 years from the beginning of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. Okay? But not... Okay, so that starts... He does... Let's just do the chishuv. You see, Nebuchadnezzar ruled for 45 years. Okay? We're going to see this inside now. Chashuv arba'im v'chamesh Nebuchadnezzar. He ruled for 45 years. Be'esrim b'tzlat alvil morodach. The next guy ruled for 23, right? That gets us up to 68. Vitarte Didei, and then he rules for 3 years, so the first 2 years he counts. The first 2 years end. He enters his third year, and what does he say? 7 years are up from when Bavel became king. Okay? Hashivim Afik, Hashivim, that's 70. Afik, he takes out money to be Migdasha Veshtamesh Behu. Okay, this sounds a little bit like, right, he was scared to use the Kelim of the Beit HaMikdash until these 7 years were up. Once the 7 years were up, and he said, oh, look, the Jews haven't got back to their land. Obviously, the Nevuah is not going to be fulfilled. I cannot use their Kelim. He takes them out, okay, and he uses them. So now they're going to say, Unavuchanetzer Menalad Arim B'chamesh Nimalach. How do we know that he ruled for 45 years? Da'amamar, Galu B'sheva, Galu B'shmone. Galu B'shmone Asre, Galu B'chasre. Okay? Now to understand this, okay, it sounds like there's four galuyot, okay? And what it really means is there's two galuyot. We know that there were two galuyot. First comes the Nebuchadnezzar, right? He takes over, and he the first thing that happens is he conquers Jehoiakim. He was the king at the time. Conquers Jehoiakim. Then, when time goes on, Jehoiakim becomes king instead of him. And he takes all the important people to Galut. Okay, they call them the Kretu, right? The Kretu Pleti. They go to Galut, all the important people. And then, in fact, the Babylonians try to use this as their, oh, look, we go way back, right? Like, all the important people went to Babel and we're stronger than Israel because, look, they took all the smart people out of Babel. Okay. Then there's another king. Then I think Jehoiakim comes back to become king. I forget. And then Sikiyahu becomes king. And in Sikiyahu's time, that's when the Churban happens. Okay? So now we're going to see the timing of it. So they're talking about two Galut. This is Galut Jehoiakim. And this is Galut Sikiyahu. Okay? And they're called the 7th and the 8th and the 18th and the 19th. Why they each have two numbers? So it depends. This goes back to Rosh Hashanah. It depends how you count. Mm-hmm. Right? We talked about that there's all sorts of counting. So there were two ways they counted. Galu B'sheva, Galu B'shmona, Galu B'shmonasra, Galu B'chasra. Galu B'sheva, L'kibush Jehoiakim. Galut Jehoiakim, Shishmona L'Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? The first Galut of Galut Jehoiakim was 7 years after he conquered Jehoiakim, which was 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar became king. Okay? Because we're going to see that in the first year, really in the second year, he basically, a year after he becomes king, he conquers Jehoiakim. Okay? We're going to see that in a minute. Galut b'shmonasre, the kibush Jehoiakim, Galut Sikiyahu. The second one is Galut Sikiyahu. She chasre l'Nebuchadnezzar. It's 18 to when Jehoiakim is captured, and it's 19 to when Nebuchadnezzar is captured. You can see in the Shatenstein, they have a nice chart. They show Jehoiakim became king in the fifth year of his reign, which was the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? He gets conquered. Okay? So they have like a whole list of when everybody gets conquered compared to when. You don't have this in yours? Okay, you have it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's two charts. There's one that shows the years, and there's one that shows based on Jehoiakim's rule and Nebuchadnezzar's rule and how many years from the kibush of Jehoiakim. Anyway, so let's go on. Now we're going to see. De'amar mar. Shana rishona, here we get the whole background. The first year of his reign, kibesh Nineveh. The first place he conquers when he becomes king is Nineveh. Shnia kibesh Jehoiakim. Okay, so the second year he's king, he conquers Jehoiakim. How do we know he only ruled 45 years? Okay? Because in the 37th year of the Galut of Jehoiakim, okay, so if this is in the 8th year, right? Galut Jehoiakim happens in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar. 37 years, this is how I believe this is how Sefer Melachim ends, right? This is the last pasuk. I think it comes up there and in Yirmiyahu. Comes up in Yirmiyahu, but maybe, I can't remember if it comes up in Malachim also. But anyway, 37 years after Jehoiakim goes into Galut, which is obviously after the Churban, right? Meaning in the first year of his reign, at Rosh Jehoiakim Melech Yehudah. Okay, this is like the hope. Right? It's he takes him out of jail. He's been in jail for all those years. Evil Morodach, in the first year of his rule, he takes him out of jail. Okay? So what do you get? The first year of his rule is 8 years of Nebuchadnezzar plus another 37 of Nebuchadnezzar, which gets us to 45. So after 45 years, Evil Morodach becomes the king. So Nebuchadnezzar ruled 45 years. Okay? Now how do we know Evil Morodach ruled for 23 years? This is going to be a much simpler one. Tanya Bitzlat, So first, okay, so first they're going to do the addition, which we just did. Tamne, which is 8. V'taltin v'sheva, 37. Harei arbein v'chamesh, that's 45, dinabuchanetzer. V'esrim v'tzlat evrim rodach gemar, it's a masoret. Okay, we know it by masoret, no detailed explanation. V'tarte didei, then the 2 years of his reign, right, that gets you up to 23 is 68. Now we have plus 2 more years of his reign. The 2 years end, and he says, hashivim, that's 70. So Amar Hashda Vadai Tulomi Parke. Clearly now God is not coming to help them anymore. Apik Mane de Bemikdasha Veshtamishbu. He takes out the Kelim of the Bemikdash, he uses them. Heinu de Ka'amar le Daniel, and this is where Daniel says, Valmar Ishmai Hitromamta, you got up, right? You tried to make yourself greater than the God of the heavens. Ulamanya debete Havetu Kadamach, and you brought the Kelim of the Bayit before you. Uchtiv. And on that night he died. He was killed. Okay? And it's God punished him for taking out the kelim. So comes Achashverosh and he says, look, Balshitzar clearly made this mistake. I'm not going to make the same mistake. I'm going to do my calculations properly. Okay, now we're going to keep going. So now where do we get more years? So that gets us up to 70, right? Uchtiv, v'daryavash mada'ai kibal machuta varshnim shtayim v'tarti. This is a pasuk that really has nothing to do with this, but it says they're telling us that Daryavish became king after Balshitzar when he kibar shnin v'shitim v'tartin. He was 62 years old. Okay, it's unclear why they're telling us this. It could be they're just bringing another pasuk there, but it's not really relevant. So now Amar Achashverosh said, "Iu mitatai ana chashiv nevelotai. I'm not going to make a mistake." Miktiv lemachut Babel. It doesn't say 70 years from the time that the Bavlim took over. Lebavel ktiv. It says lebavel. So my lebavel, legalut Babel. Okay. So what does he say? I'm going to be smarter. I'm going to count from the galut. Now, what galut does he count from? Obviously, the wrong one. Also, he counts from the galut of Yehoyachin. So what does he say? That's how much of a difference? Kama b'tziran. What's the difference? Timne 8. Right. So chashiv va'ayal chilufayhu. So now he says, okay, so let's jump forward another 8 years. How do we jump forward another 8 years? You can use the chart on the page. So Balshitzar was, right, he goes into his third year. So we have, Ba'al Chilufayu, Chada de Balshitzar, the third year of Balshitzar, which wasn't very long. V'chamesh de Daryavish v'Koresh, okay, Daryavish was 2 years, Koresh was 3, that's another 5, that gets us up to 6. V'tarte didei, and 2 of him. So now, it all fits. In the third year of his reign, you get it? Hashivin. Kevin the Chazi de Malu Shivin below Ifruk. Amar. Hashtavadai Tulamiparke. Apik Mane de Ben Migdasha Veshtamishbu. So he takes out the Kelim of the Ben Migdasha and he uses them. Where do we see that in the Megillah? Do you remember? The Kelim Mikelim Shonim. We change the truck to sound like Echa. That's a reference, and that comes from here. The Kelim he used with the Kelim from the Ben Migdasha because he thought that the 7 years were up. Basa Tam Virike Benehem Baharagat Vashti. And now here it's interesting, they say, well, why didn't they kill Achashverosh? Like they killed Balshitzar, right? So some people say that she was as much a part of it as he was, and therefore she got killed, or he stole Kigufo, or they give all sorts of reasons. In any case, the more difficult, no matter what, it's a good question. Okay, so now they say, but he did a good counting. What was wrong with it? Iunami mitatai, right? You can already guess what they're going to say. He made a mistake also. Tibai lelamim le mechorvot Yerushalayim. Okay? He should have counted from the Chorvot of Yerushalayim. So now they're going to ask one final question. We'll finish up the page. Kama b'tziran. So then it doesn't make sense, though, the count. Kama b'tziran. Ihu kama malach arbasar. Right? He ruled 14 years. Barbasar didei ibaile levnimne beit hamikdash. Right? In other words, what's the difference between the 8 and the 19? 11. There's 11 years. So if it's 11 years, count another 11 years from the third year of his reign, you get to year 14. So it should be in the last year of Achashverosh they built the Beit HaMikdash, right? And they go back. Alam Aktiv, why does it say then in Ezra? Badayin Betelach Avidat Beit Elohad Yerushalayim V'Havet Betila. Okay, they canceled the building of the Beit HaMikdash like I told you before. And V'Havet Betila, it was canceled until Achnat Tartin L'Marchut Daryavash Melech Paras, until the second year of Daryavash the second. Meaning another 2 years later, right? Should have been on the 14th, another 11 years from the third year. So had it ended up that it was 2 years into Daryavish, how could that be, the second year of Daryavish? So Amarava Shanim Mekuta Otavu. Ah, These years weren't full years. This, again, goes back to Rosh Hashanah. Remember, if a king rules for one day, it's considered a year that he ruled. So they say that you have to cut them short. First of all, we already know Baal Shem Tov only ruled for a day, according to this, because in the beginning of his third year, he already didn't become king anymore. And then they say Koresh and Daryavish's overlap also was really only 4 years. And then that puts you up another 2 years earlier, and you get to the fact that there were two late, right, that happened 2 years later, actually. The 70 were up 2 years later. This, even though they tried to use this count very exactly, in the end, it doesn't work out exactly. The problem is, if you think about this, if you're going to mess up, if you're going to say the Baal Shem Tov and Daryavish and Koresh were a little earlier, then it shouldn't be the third year of Achashverosh's reign. It messes up that whole thing. I don't know. I know why they don't seem to address that. Anyway, or maybe they do, and I just didn't read enough about it. But, okay, so we'll end here.